welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Right, let me just maybe make a note or just one last thing about the previous session. Is that the whole thing about insecurities, of course, I'm speaking now to artists and musos and dancers, and I'm not exactly sure who you all are, but what I believe that's who you are, the subspecies. Okay, so this, of course, manifests in life in many other ways. People find their security in their money, find their security in their looks, find their security in their paycheck, in their house, in the car they drive, all those things. So it's a constant thing that we actually need to sort out. It's amazing. I have the privilege of working with some sports guys, but really known sports guys. And the one thing that you need to kill the whole time is actually the I. The I. Because when it's all about me, you know, all those worship songs that we sing. We sing, it's all about you, but we actually sing, it's all about me. I exalt me. I exalt me. That's what we do, right? We sing one thing, but we live sometimes other things. So in your life and in your walk, really, I wish I could have spoken a whole half an hour on insecurities and how to deal with that, how to expose it and what's the characteristics of it. But really ask God to let it come to the front. I remember probably the most stupid but blessed prayer I've ever prayed is, Lord, please reveal all my insecurities. And then all hell broke loose. Okay. So, and that's why you need to be close to people, because they can spot it and you can't. All right. Okay. So, songwriting. All right. Who is songwriters? You know you're a songwriter. You've written songs a couple of years. Hands up, don't be shy, praise Jesus more than say donkey lacht. Okay. All right. So what I'm not gonna speak about writing love songs. Okay, I'm not too good with that. I wrote a couple just when I started off writing songs when I was about 14 years old. You're my sunshine, my every day, and with His mercy, that's how it's gonna stay. You're my heartbeat. Blah blah blah. Okay, so those were like 15 years ago. Yeah. So everybody has to start somewhere, I guess. So I'm not going to speak about writing love songs, not speaking about writing even contemporary Christian songs. Is it okay, Meryl, if I just speak about writing congregational songs for churches? Okay, so let's start with that. And I want to ask you a question, because even people sitting here come from different backgrounds. What are the songs in church that you love worshiping on? Anybody? So it says one thing. Okay, so it might be repetitive, but it's got a theme. It's focused. It's one major thing. Not trying to push in the whole New Testament in one song. Okay? When it's easy to sing. Okay, so I'm giving you tips now. You can start writing this down. Okay, so this is, okay, you're actually giving it. Okay, it's easy to sing. If a song can't be repeated the second time by, let's say, 20-30% of the congregation, I believe it's maybe too difficult. You know, sometimes when you try a song in church and you just see people just staring at you. Okay, and you know they love Jesus and their hearts are in the right place, but just they look at you in a way like, what is this all about? Okay, so it must be easy. Other characteristics? Come. Congregational songs now. Wow. You don't think a lot in this church. It's a joke. Well, it's based on scripture. Okay, so it's based on scripture. It's scripture bound. Okay? It's a catchy tune. Okay, it's a catchy tune. When you walk out, you can actually remember it. So it's easy, but it's also something that just sticks in your head. Just something that's just there. You just, okay. More characteristics. Whoa! The holy chord. The Jesus chord. Jesus. All right. Okay, that's a good one. All right. Based in G. If in doubt, play in G. That's always my motto. Okay. All right. If you can experience the Lord's presence in it. Okay. Ah, okay. Something that appeals to you. If it can flow over, chord progression, whatever, it can really just launch into a moment of free worship. Stefan? Speaks to your heart. Okay, speaks to your heart. Okay, now just for a moment, pause, just quickly, and let's become very unspiritual. Normal songs, not spiritual or congregational songs, just normal lacquer songs that you listen to. Okay? Normal songs. What are the things that appeals to you there? Beat. Groove. You can relate to that song. Right, now, different cultures. There are certain styles of music that I just cannot relate to. But a lot of people can't relate to my style of music. Especially if I sing Afrikaans. What? Okay? All that they hear is the... All right. So what's the same that applies on a practical level for people, for normal songs, you must be able to relate to it. Why do you think, oh, there's so many love songs that's written all across this world? Because people can relate to it, or think they do. I don't know who sang that one song. I heard it on Jacaranda about, you know, who's it that's always angry with? Is it Avril Lavigne? Or who of the girls is always angry at their boyfriend? Adele. Now she wants to stab me. Through that, it feels like I'm driving. She's going to stab me out of the radio with, Okay, so people relate to it because it's literally something that emotionally you can relate to. There's an emotional connection. Even when there's no words to the songs, there's something that music carries. Music carries a certain emotion. So we've said a couple of things now. A good song is easy. A good song is relatable. A good song is something that can maybe lead you into free worship. Something that people can sit in a congregation, they can, it's a catchy tune. It's something that they actually can sing when they're away. Now here's the amazing thing about songs. Colossians 3 verse 16 says the following. Teach and admonish one another by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And just before that it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So, there's a way that it's possible for you to literally teach people through the songs that you sing. Do you know that how great is our God comes out of a scripture? Psalm 104. It's got some of those words, the splendor of the king, clothed in majesty, he wraps himself in light. That scripture. I never knew I sang scripture. It was a cool tune. It happened. It worked. It brought me closer to Jesus. And then one day I was going through the Psalms and boom, here's the words. I'm like, Chris Tomlin, you copycat. But that's what we all do. Because when you're a Christian writer and you write songs for congregations, you just copy and paste actually the scripture. That's why I don't think I'm totally original. I'm not an original songwriter. I just translated in many ways. Because if you do not sing scripture and you just sing opinions, what are you doing? You are basing people's faith on your experience or your opinion. So whatever you write, We've said a couple of things. Write it simple, write it transferable, etc., etc. But you have to write scripture. Okay. Otherwise, it's just going to be an opinion. But now you must also, and you started with that, what's that one thing? Because the one thing, if I'm singing about loneliness, do you think I'm going to start my song in a major key? No. You're going to start, where's that guitar? Do you mind? Whose guitar is it standing on that side? Give me half my gokrei het gegaan uithaal. Ek het gaan vir jou iets verduidelik. Is that going to work? I don't know. Voel hom het gegaan. Nee, hy is te klein. Come on. Give me a confessor. All right, so the type of music that you put to your lyric must, of course, accompany what you're saying. Someone needs to... Thank you. Thanks. Okay, here's my confessor. Thank you. All right, so... okay, so if I... Thank you, word. This is gemakkelijk. Okay, so for instance, I wrote a song the other day about the life of Job. Job is a song, it's Afrikaans, liedjie met naam Job. It was on an album that we did in the Karoo. So if I start the song and you hear this. Can you put it there? So that sounds pretty sad, eh? I'm like, hang myself up. But then in the chorus, it revolves to... Okay, so I'm just going to... Okay, I'm going to do both. Okay, so so for instance, the words were... Waar is ie, o Heere, as ek ie nodig het? Waarom antwoord ie my nie, as ie my dan moet red? Okay, it's Job saying, Lord, why aren't you rescuing me, okay? And then Job starts to struggle with God, and then he hears, but maar dan begin ek bewe. Then I start to tremble, want ek hoor die stem van God. I hear the voice of God. Wat bulder oor my klagtes, en spreek tot in my lot, weet jy dan nie, weet jy dan nie. So God is speaking now, to Job, and then chorus, happy. Wie meer die waters, meer die holte van sy hand, wiep in die hemel, met Orionse band. So now God is saying, who is holding the world in the palm of his hand, and the waters? And then after this song, after this chorus, it goes back, da 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 da. Oh, and now he's sad again. Oh. Okay, so now Job is literally struggling, thank you so much, struggling with God. So you use literally the minor keys to also convey a certain emotion. Friends, music isn't just technical, it speaks to your heart. Now you think, oh, you're manipulating people. No, I don't think so. You're just speaking. Thanks. You are literally speaking to people's hearts and their... No, that's cool. Thanks. And their spirits, literally calling that out. Okay, so now practically for myself, how do I write songs? Because maybe you might ask that. Okay, I have no clue. No, there are two ways. The best way is when you have a deadline. Anton Goosen, prolific songwriter, said the two things you need to write songs is a hard chair and a deadline. Okay, you have to just sit literally. If you ask me now in the next 2 hours to write a song, by his grace, I would write it. You give me a theme, I would probably write something. But here's the great news about songwriting. You can become better, and hopefully you do. When you start off, it's not that great. But that's why you need people to help you dissect that song and make it really good. So if you didn't listen to the previous session, get the recording. Because if you want to write songs, you must be open for criticism. So don't hold on to that thing very, very hard. Because it will probably come out that the first song that you write won't be a one-hit wonder. It won't be the best. It won't be... There's somebody called Rihanna Nell. You know her? Rihanna now is one of the best songwriters that I know. She has the ability to stand in front of you right now and pick two or three themes, and she will write a song in this moment, literally. Get the melody, get the words to actually rhyme, and sing you that song back. For her album, she wrote 74 songs and chose the best 13. So that's normally what we actually do, but we're supposed to write 20 and you choose the best 13. She wrote 74. So she's a songwriting machine. So I believe some people are literally anointed and gifted just to write songs. And I'm not just talking about Christians, because it's a gift. It's literally a gift, but it's a gift that you can also grow in. So I want to encourage you to start writing these songs. And what I sometimes do is we have team writing. We will sit together three or four. I won't make it too much than that. And you come in and the person facilitating say, okay, guys, we're going to write a song on God's holiness. So everybody goes off and gets scripture about his holiness and this and this. And maybe, hopefully, one gets a kind of a tune. Then you come, you sit together with a guitar or a piano and you start fleshing out that song and making sure it rhymes, but it mustn't be corny rhyme. Okay, so you can have very corny songs as well. It shouldn't be. But there must be a rhyme, because rhyme helps it to be easy, to be transferable, to be singable. So there's a couple of rules regarding when you write it. But for me, how it comes, actually, I wrote a song this week that we're actually doing tomorrow. I just rehearsed it with a band. I'm so excited. I was sitting in a prayer meeting, literally, and sometimes when I pray, I start humming. And I start singing, sometimes in my tongue, but sometimes literally a song that comes out. So this is what came out Monday, and then I sat Wednesday evening at 12 o'clock, because that's when I write most of my songs, very late at night, because then everything is calm and it's peaceful, and it just comes. So the song goes like this: give thanks. It's like a hymn. Okay, so give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Do you know that scripture? Okay, so it's scriptural. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. What a faithful God we serve. Okay, maybe it sounds like something. I hope it doesn't. Otherwise, I'm in big trouble. But sometimes it does, and then you check it with people and say, oh no, it sounds like that song. You're like, oh, let me change it. And then started to write, glorious and holy, never failing God, victorious and worthy, you're the ever faithful God. Okay, so what I've used words to rhyme, glorious and holy. And then a bit later, victorious and worthy. So you see it kind of rhymes. And then I played with the words, never failing God and ever faithful God. Do you hear the never and the ever? And the failing and the faithful actually works together. So it hopefully is something that will kind of stick. But I wanted to say something. We have a carnival of thanks that we have. That's theme writing. So tomorrow we have a carnival of thanks. And in this Thanksgiving, I wanted to write a song out of scripture. I didn't actually plan it. It just came. So what do you do as a songwriter? You always have your phone or a dictaphone very close to you. Because in that moment when it came, I literally scrolled down to my application and just pushed record. Just, okay, because I will forget it. You will forget it. So as a songwriter, even if it's just driving your car, I've had hundreds of voice notes, literally on this. Voice notes that reminds me, and I haven't used, I think, maybe 10% of them, but it's as I drive, oh, suddenly there's a song. And I just record it. And then later on, I go back to it. You start working on it. But here's the thing. For me, personally, people ask sometimes, and you're going to ask now questions. So please think about questions, songwriters, that you just want to go back to. But for me, it happens at the same time. Words and lyrics. Some people write the whole song, all the lyrics, and then they put music on it. Or they get somebody to put music on it. Other people get a cool tune, but they don't have any words. For me, it kind of happens simultaneously. And then I just go for it. And here's the key. Whatever is in your spirit and in your heart will come out in that moment. As a Christian songwriter, as a child of God, expressing the worship that's inside of you. And the more word you have inside of you, the more that will just come out. That's the bottom line. Vir die hart van vol is, loop die mond van oor. Whatever's in your heart will come out. So I might have a cool tune, and then I just start humming or singing words, and the words that's coming out are things that I've been dwelling on the last month in my quiet time with God, and then that's just expressed. The other way is the pastor preaches something that's amazing. Okay, so he preaches or she preaches something that just rocks your world. You're making notes. And then you go and sit and say, Lord, how can we translate this message into a song? Because people will remember the song long after the sermon. Colossians 3:16, teach and admonish one another by singing songs. Okay, so that's also a very practical way. I know Louis Giglio and Chris Tomlin, they work like that a lot. When they try and say something, he writes a song that Louis is actually preparing also with that. So you have to be big enough, strong enough, humble enough to present your songs to people and not hold on to it. And that people can change it. And that the church can sing it. And it must be easy singable again. You think it's easy singable because you can sing it. But you're a singer. 80% of your congregation isn't necessarily singers. They can't even hold note. Note. And what's all this? Yeah, they can't note well, yeah. Okay. Yeah, whatever. Okay. They can't hold the key. So it must be something that people can relate to. And now here's the major thing. You must now listen very well. When you write songs, you need to know who's sitting in front of you. Because the style that you prefer isn't necessarily the style that they prefer. And guess who is serving who? You serve the people in front of you. Please don't just sing the songs that you like or the styles that you like. Know who's sitting in front of you and how people can relate to that. And I love Shofar as I love our church, Every Nation, because it's multicultural. And you need to know how to appeal to these cultures in different ways to also infiltrate these cultures. We are doing a song now tomorrow called Malebongwe. Malebongwe, Gamalako. So I need to learn my Zulu. O bayete, uyinkosi ezulu, upageme gagulu, upageme. Okay, so you need to learn these different languages. And other people who can't sing Afrikaans, if you want to serve Afrikaans people, you need to learn to say, ugh. Okay? So when you write the songs, also in your congregations, help stimulate songwriting. So we have songwriting Saturdays where we come together. And we have about 10 songwriters. And then we split into three or four groups of three or four at the most. It was so cool. About a month and a half ago, we wrote four songs between 9 o'clock and 2 o'clock. Four songs. And we're doing one of them tomorrow as well. And remember, it's here's also the thing. If you think that every song that you write needs to get on a CD, be distributed, don't go there. If God wants it there, and God literally wants to expand the voice and the audience, but that's not the main mission. Some songs are supposed to be written for a church and the season that a church is in to express what God is saying in that season in this church. And then that song becomes amazing. A good song isn't necessarily the one that's played on radio, that's commercial, and that people sing all over the world. That's cool if it is. But write songs for your congregations to express what God is doing there, to capture the culture, to capture the vibe, to capture what God is saying to this congregation. And just again, maybe going back to scripture, that we write scripture. Worship, you've probably heard this, is a response to revelation. You know this, eh? You've heard this teaching or not? Say yes or no. Okay, some go this. All right, so Worship is a response to revelation. God reveals something about himself in nature, in people, in the word of God, etc., etc. And we just respond to that. Nothing starts with us. So by the way, even no creativity. We are stimulated by things we see on the outside. It stirs you on the inside and then it just comes out again. So everything starts and ends with God. All right. So as you write songs, express that worship that is a result of revelation. Okay. Oh, there's so much to be said. I wish we could have had a practical session, but we can't have it today. But any questions that anybody wants to ask? Yes. Okay, certain structural order. That depends on the culture that you are worshiping before and the styles that you are using for your music. That's the first thing. There aren't a lot of rules regarding this, but in our westernized Chris Tomlin, Michael W. Smith type of worship that a lot of us, Hillsong, have become accustomed to, which I pray and ask that we don't just stay there, but also create our own indigenous sounds. A lot of that structure starts with an intro, with a verse, sometimes with a pre-chorus, and then a chorus, maybe again a verse, the same pre-chorus, the same chorus, then you might go into a bridge. Now, a bridge, here's the big thing. When you write a bridge, if the bridge doesn't lift the song, because it's called a bridge, you are lifting it to a higher place, then don't write that bridge. Unless it is a bridge that maybe comes down and says something very profound and very deeply. And then probably after that, you go back to a chorus or a double chorus. That's just structure-wise, but when you go into free worship, structure doesn't mind. But bridges are there. Sometimes I write bridges specifically to shine light on God. And maybe, let me just say this, except that it's scripture, I want to challenge you to, in your songs, also write in the gospel. Paul said, I have resolved to speak about nothing else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If our sermons and even our songs doesn't point to Christ the whole time, then we're busy with, I don't know, just becoming better human beings or self-help songs or self-help preaching. And here's the thing also, a lot of songs these days you hear is about me and I. I believe more in us because church is us. Even our culture, it's so independent. People say, oh, I don't need a family, I don't need church. It's me, myself, and I can do it by myself. Even the songs that I write a lot more these days have also grown as I have grown into family. I write we songs more than I songs. And it's more songs that's maybe personal towards God in the first person. Because we can sing about God, and that's great. Because sometimes you need to sing about God, like Isaiah 6. I saw Pastor Fred did that. Isaiah 6. They sang, holy, holy. To whom did I sing it? To each other. They were singing to one another. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They didn't sing it to God. They sang it to one another. You can go and read it. Because they're actually reminding one another who He is. And that's sometimes what happened in corporate worship. We remind one another who God is. Oh, bad place. Lack of faith. Hey, remember who God is. He's faithful. He's holy. What a faithful God we serve. That song that I just sang now, we're going to do tomorrow. Give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord for He is good. What a faithful God we serve. That's in the third person. And then the chorus goes first and glorious and holy, never failing God. Victorious and worthy, you're the ever faithful God. So you swing to God now. So you can actually change that also in a song. Hey, friends, sometimes there's no rules with these things. I'm just giving you how I write and how I try to do this. So structure-wise, what I try and do, also this is now just for worship leading. Try not to have a lot of instrumental breaks and stuff where people show off, because people disengage in worship. Unless it's a free worship moment, people know how to lead themselves in that moment. And even when you do songs, not too long intros, not too long half tros or whatever, whatever. Okay. Yeah, my son. Okay. So it's prophetic songs. Yes. I believe also in that. It's a lot more difficult to sing those songs or to let the people sing those songs because it was actually God that's singing it. So as a worship leader, you need to almost direct that song to say, friends, in the following song or in your worship, let's just hear what God is saying over us and what he's singing over us. Sometimes what we will have in our church is that somebody sings that song over the congregation and then they respond. It's the same. Worship is a response to revelation. So he reveals his heart, we respond back. Okay. They will respond back maybe just to facilitate a moment where they can respond to what they've heard now in personal prayer or personal song, or there might be a chorus that you work into that and that they can respond corporately together. Okay? More questions? Yes. Okay, so the ministry song, to define it, is what I call a contemporary song or a ministry song. It's when you sing it, but people don't sing along. So you sing it over people, that's almost like the prophetic song. But it's a song maybe like this Job song. That will never be a congregational song. It wasn't written for that. But it's something in a moment in the service where you can play it and people can actually relate to it, have a moment with it, and they're like, oh, that ministers to my spirit. So yes, there's absolutely place for that, but don't confuse that with worship songs, because then you would sing it and people will think, oh, I need to sing along, but I can't follow it. It's just too difficult. And because a lot of ministry songs is a bit more difficult. It's not that easy, like we said now, because we want it to be easy, simple, not simple in content, but simple in melody and transferable. It's easy, singable, along. And the back to you. Yeah. 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 Okay, not at our congregation, Pretoria, yet, because we haven't raised up those worship leaders and worshipers yet. We are busy doing that because we're a small church plant. But I know our Joburg church, the Bayetes, the Malabongwes, all those things, and they have the band called We Will Worship. It's a whole We Will Worship movement with Lango Mbumani. So they're actually recording again end of this year as well. So they are writing a lot of these new songs. I want to encourage you guys just to keep on writing these songs, because I know even in different cultures, you also have, yes, almost a sing-along culture during worship. It's all about the song. It's nice to sing. You get that in a lot of traditional churches, but people don't necessarily worship while they're singing. So we want to call forth all the different languages to start writing songs that people can. So we're not there yet, but that's definitely our citywide and long-term vision to do that. But please help us with that and share the songs. But We Will Worship, I know they write a lot of these songs out of the right heart. It's not commercial. They want to make money out of it. It's worship that comes out of the church to serve the church. Yeah, a ministry song isn't necessarily in the set list of the worship set. If we say we have something like that in a service, maybe in the beginning or the end. I believe that a ministry song is maybe something that comes after the preaching or before the preaching, or there's a moment, or maybe during communion if you have communion corporately. It's something that specifically ministers into something at that moment. But then you literally announce it or just tell people, hey, just sit and listen to the song. Maybe you can relate to it. It's something that can speak to your heart. You know, you just guide it in. Okay? More questions? Nobody else. Yes, Stephen. Warfare. That's great. Wow, that's amazing. I never thought about that, but I think it's great. I think warrior songs, yes, there's that one song, but we all know it. There is power in the name of Jesus. Now, that song I love because it literally attacks stuff in the spirit, especially when you are preaching on it and things like that. So I haven't thought about it that way. You know what's so amazing about the Spirit of God is that He literally goes ahead of us to address things in the Spirit or in the context where we are ministering at, to address even before we see it. So you literally almost attack things in a way, and then it becomes spiritual warfare. Absolutely. That's great. And friends, I almost want to say, try and write songs. And this is where the people who can really write the songs already in your church that you know are the songwriters need to be honest to say, I don't think this is going to work. This is one of those things you can't be too sensitive about. It's like an audition. When you do a band audition, you can't be oversensitive. You must tell them, it's great, thank you, but I think let's find another place for you to serve, because it can become a distraction. But you can also grow in that gift. That's why I'm saying. But I believe it's amazing if we can just all grow in writing songs like that. We have a prophetic song that we wrote now. It says, freedom to the lost, to the brokenhearted, freedom to the poor. We'll stand as free men singing songs of deliverance to a lost and lonely world. Actually doing it tomorrow as well. So it's a song that we believe God has called us also to proclaim over the city. Lift up your eyes, let faith arise. The Lord is here, the Lord is near. He is our hope, our victory, the Lord our hope, the Lord our strength. So it's a song that says that also to speak these things into being. Okay. I think I'm done because I'm smelling everything outside and it's just too good. Guys, just from my side, I thank you for having me. You are a bunch of great people. I loved being here with you and bless you. I just want to pray over you. Can I just pray? Lord, I pray for this amazing bunch of people, Lord, and all the congregations represented here. Father, I want to specifically now pray for the release of new songs. Songs that come out of your heart, a response to revelation, Lord. Songs that speak into being things into their communities and their churches, into families, into schools, campuses. Father, and songs that will draw people closer to you, that people can relate to. Different languages, different styles, Lord. Grace us with that. And I pray that they won't lose heart when everything doesn't happen the first time. Let them grow. Let them be secure to also test the songs with one another. But Lord, release new songs. I pray that let the prophets arise. Let the teachers who teach through songs also arise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. Our strong Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org. or find us on facebook.com/ShofarPretoria.